R. Paul for a sec.
Thank you, Dwayne. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Sharon has outlined a lot of the problem. I think I think we all understand the problem. Expenses exceed revenue. Assets are not covering liability, and we're running back and forth at this point and shuffling money here, shuffling money there, and we've been doing this for years, and after a while, it's getting difficult to keep on doing because things continue to go down. So I agree with her that, there is this problem, and the future does not look so great if you consider this problem. It relates to the interim CFO's mention of a tipping point. And so I agree with that. What I disagree with is Sharon's solution. However you want to put it, this sort of got tried in New York last year, and, man, it flopped badly. Regionalism is a part of how the Pacifica stations have survived. You look at, one station does just in music. One station does one kind of music. Another station does a totally different kind of music. A third station does music that's antithetical to the other music. And yet they could, it serves their communities. So it's difficult to come up with a solution to the problem. I think we see the problem. I don't think anybody has the solution. And I certainly think that simply piping the same content to all of the stations, to whatever stations are having problems, we've kind of seen that not work. Also, you can't fire everybody. If you fire everybody, the FCC says you don't have a radio station anymore, so you got to keep some people there. You need like a general manager, a chief operator, and various other people. And also you're going to have somebody to maintain your website. And if you don't have your own local programming, what's going to happen to that website? It's going to turn into spider webs and not the Halloween kind. So the solution is the real difficult thing. What the hell are we going to do? We can see something coming, and, yeah, the EIDL loan will help us and kick the can down the road again a ways. But no matter what, we've got this big issue here. And, I've talked about what I think is part of the problem in the past. I won't do it now, but the solution is the thing that eludes us. And it might be that it's just a very difficult problem to solve. And, I don't know, maybe we just can't come up with a really good idea to solve it. But we need to try, and we need to start thinking ahead about it. That's it. Thank you.
Sharon for the stack.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I wanted to say that it hadn't really, okay, the experiment wasn't really tried because obviously as soon as it was happened, lawsuits were filed. I also don't like having words put in my mouth, which one of the speakers did, and I really don't appreciate that. I do try to stick to the facts, so I'm going to do that again. Revenue across Pacifica is down $1.8 million over last year. And, we've all been talking about how we're going to increase revenue and we got to do this and that and pay off the debt. And yet, in reality, revenue has decreased $1.8 million across the network in the last year. So all the constant emails about better programming and all the things that we're going to do, I don't know. It has failed. It has failed. And when I hear, oh, well, you can't just, lay off people. That just happened at KPFK. The entire news department was just laid off. And that is just going to keep happening. So instead of letting it happen arbitrarily and in some organized way.
Excuse me, Sharon, could you suspend for a second? Just a moment. There's some background noise. Could whoever's not speaking mute? Thank you. Go ahead, Sharon.
Yes, thank you. I did hear that. So I'm just trying to say, it was really distressing what happened at KPFK and very sad to have the news department taken, fired like that or whatever. I don't know what it was, layoff or whatever. So instead of having that happen, you know, in some arbitrary way across the network, we could organize. I want to also make the point that you only need, as far as I know, 2 employees, and I believe I have checked this before, and it may be less than 2, but I believe 2 is the maximum employees you need at any station. I've checked this several times. And the other thing I wanted to say about, I actually totally appreciate the comments about how, you know, community radio should be local programming. I believe that. And yet I also understand and see that we have many programs that are nationwide. Democracy Now!, The Ralph Nader Show, which I believe comes out of WPFW, and we play it here on KPSA. I believe Dave Zirin might be out of on W, and that used to be here on KPSA. And then we've got Richard Wolf's Economic Hour. So there are shows that do have appeal across the nation, and maybe that can be supplemented with music or other things. I mean, this all or nothing approach and this disaster thinking, or I don't know. I'm just trying to suggest that there are ways with the resources of Pacifica to handle this problem. And one of them is to not have fully staffed stations at every station, at least for a while. It's not like it's going to be forever. That's the other thing. It's temporary. That is the goal, to have it be temporary and then just get the stations up and running. And yes, I'm done now.
Thank you, Sharon. We're a little bit off of the topic of the central services formula, but is there anybody else who had anything on this topic? I want to say something myself, hearing nobody else. And I understand all of the points made by all of the speakers, and I do think there's a problem with, you know, historically Pacifica has been so, the stations are so individualized and operated as if they were independent entities, and in fact they're not, and it has been so harmful to some of the stations to be cut to the bone because they can't make their payroll, instead of taking some income from other places and maintaining some kind of a functioning operation. I know when WBAI got its staff cut, it was cut so deeply and so far that it's really taken us a long, long time to start to pick up again, and then we had the shutdown, and now we're gradually picking up from there. I think starting in around October 12th, we actually started to meet our goals for fundraising for the first time since the shutdown. So it's a difficult culture that we've got. We've got this idea that we're 5 separate independent entities, and as was said, you know, what's mine is mine, and forget about you. But on the other hand, it's the way we've operated for many years, and it is deeply ingrained. You know, at KPFK, we still have a chance because there they have enough room to cut where what they cut can not be what they need to survive. And hopefully they can reorganize and learn how to live on a leaner budget. WBAI and KPFT are having a much more difficult time because they have been cut so much. So we know that we need to put more revenue into, more expense into KPFT to bring it back, and hopefully we'll get some of these boosts that we have on the horizon before it's too late. I hope that does occur. Anybody else? Any responses or anything else on this? And if not, let's briefly go back to the question of the central services formula, which is where we came off the tracks a little bit. Does anybody want to pick that conversation up? I think we got off when Sharon said we don't want to, it's ridiculous to talk about revenue, and I have to agree when all of the stations have, you know, are suffering with less revenue. And by the way, I take Sharon's point that KPFA has been, is, you know, finished the year in the black by $3,000. But in fact, 3 out of the last 4 months, they've been losing money too. So she's right when she says, you know, in the past, it may have looked, you know, unkind to some people, but now it's more or less becoming more of a reality where they can't really help, you know, unless they start undergoing cuts of their own and redistributing their wealth, so to speak. And I guess then the other question is, can the national office continue to survive on a percentage of the revenue of this ever-decreasing revenue? Expenses have been down at the national office. I guess maybe I can ask Anita. Anita, based on the current expenses at the national office, how much money would be needed to operate the national office in the coming year if expenses were about where they are now, which we know can fluctuate with litigation and other such things?
Sure. And actually, I pulled up what I sent to, I think, all of you a month or so ago, it seems, which is our attempt to build a budget for the national office. And quite frankly, looking at what those costs would be, again, I did not put in for legal expenses. I think we had $400,000. I took that out because, again, either, you know, is that an expense that stations pick up based on need? I don't know. Y'all are in a better position to tell me that. But anyway, it reduced the budget, annual budget, down to $744,000 versus $1,386,000. So again, my thought is, how do we divide the expense of central services, that charge? And it may be that you reduce this budget to keep it going, to pick up things like the audit, the accounting department, or, you know, NETA in this case. Those true expenses that are still factored in there, and then, of course, your any expenses for your ICO, IT, and the other expenses that go in there for payroll. And essentially, reduce everything else. That's one way of looking at it, because to me, it almost seems you can't balance a budget. Like KPFK, if it can't afford to continue paying at the going rate. So do you...
I'm sorry, Anita, paying for what at the going rate?
Like KPFK cannot continue to pay the central services at the rate that we're charging them. You know,
right. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, then do you reduce these expenses? And you say, then they take up their own legal, whoever they is, depending on who where the need is. And other things here that I reduce just to try to balance this budget.
Might be an incentive to need less legal as well, but
exactly.
That doesn't always work out, of course.
Correct.
Does anybody have any question or response to what Anita has said?
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I think that's actually a good suggestion to cut expenses, but I appreciate the analysis, but I'm not sure I really heard expenses that could be cut because, I mean, we really can't cut the audit. I mean, we have to do that, and we can't, and we appreciate what NETA is doing for us, and even though they're not being paid fully, they have been paid somewhat. So, and of course, it's an ongoing accrued expense. So, I appreciate that comment. I guess and maybe there is some, at least some expenses that can be cut there, but I am just going to say again that, the comment that, you know, KPFA should begin to lay off staff so that other stations can have staff is a way to destroy Pacifica. If you take a station that is functioning, the only one, and then you start messing with it. I appreciate what you said, James, about how, you know, staff was laid off at WBAI, and that was done by certain people that, well, I'm just not even going to go there, but point is, as you yourself have just pointed out, it did not help revenue at WBAI. So
So it won't help revenue at KTSA if you take staff away from KTSA and sort of distribute them among the rest of the stations. So again, I come back to the point of like using the staff at KTSA and perhaps elsewhere across the network to create programming that's distributed nationwide instead of having repeat, you know, redundant resources being used. And I hear what you said about the website, but, you know, maybe have one IT person that's responsible for the website. There's ways that this could be done. And, well, that's all I have to say on that. That's just my comment, and, yeah, I'm finished.
Thank you, Sharon. I want to pick up on that because, you know, we're in a time where we need to take action. You know, we can't just keep talking about these things. And there are areas that we've been looking at, such as sharing expenses across the network, for insurance, for health insurance, for things like telephone service. What were some of the others?
Call center.
Call center, yes, thank you. So there are places where we could achieve economies of scale by increasing the volume of what we're doing by joining the stations together, hiring one entity to cover that need, and then, you know, reducing the cost. Is that something, for example, that KPFA would be willing to participate in? If do you think? And I want to give another example, which here we have Anita. They're doing our accounting for WBAI and for WPFW, and I know that in LA. Perhaps NEDA can do the accounting there for about a third of what it's costing now. Would there be any interest or any willingness to consider at KPFA nationalizing, so to speak, some of these services that we need to reduce the costs? I realize you're just one person. You can't speak for KPFA, but I'm just trying to get a feel for, you know, what the attitude might be.
I mean, that's theoretically possible, but the example you gave, I think IT would be something that could be done, and that might even make sense to have it done, and then you might even have more consistency across the websites, you know, across the network. Something like that makes sense to me. Or maybe that's difficult. See, I don't know. There's a lot of details. I mean, let me just say your question was, I speaking for myself, would be open to that. As you just said, I can't say anything about KPFA as a whole.
Of course. Of course. Well, I appreciate that openness. That's helpful. That's what we need right now. We need to be open and, you know, working on solutions. And I want to say that I did hear you say when you were discussing how things were done when they piped in the KPFA content to WBAI, that you didn't say it necessarily should be all from, you know, one source. And, you know, that I appreciate that sense, that understanding of the fact that the cultures are very different at the different stations. The audiences are very different and what they appreciate. Anybody else?
Oh. Can I just say one thing?
Go ahead, yes, please.
One point. I just want to correct one thing.
I hear you, Dwayne.
It was not KPFA content that was being played. That was not KPFA content. It was independent content.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, since this conversation basically has been dominated back and forth about KPFA, which I don't believe KPFA should be the discussion. I believe one of the speakers made it so, and you've been responding to that. I think the larger point is we are a network, and networks generally don't operate based on what one part of it is performing, although for-profit organizations do measure entities based on their profitability, because they are for profit. And I'll repeat that it's never my intent to put words in anyone's mouth. What I do is respond to the words that come out of it. And what I clearly hear is a consistent theme from members who represent one of our California stations, not naming it. And that is a me generation. And frankly, I don't believe it's good for the future of the foundation. I know it's not good for the present of the foundation, and it certainly was not how it operated the first 20 or 30 years. It's been most recent. And I heard a member from Houston, who is a prominent member, who has been on the foundation board back and forth for a number of years and who's been in IED and been in many positions out of Houston, who's consistently said, as relates to Houston, to the IDM, who's only been in place for 10 months, and basically blame him as this treasurer from KCFT consistently does for the malaise and the neglect that has occurred at KPFT with the previous management dating back from one that was 15-year tenure just 4 years ago to the five IEDs that we've had in the previous 3 years. But the larger point would be that this gentleman makes the point that you can't survive and we are struggling because we don't have original content and live programming. And we need to get the programmers into a station that's full of mold. We need to allow the programmers to come in a station that's pretty raggedy and ill-repaired. In fact, the city of Houston taped it up for a moment because of plumbing. So my larger point would be that we have been speaking with different voices, but with the same message. And that is the way out of this mess is to neglect and allow the richest station to continue to be autonomous, or at least want more autonomy. And you hear the hue and the cry that we're tired of being tired of vampires sucking our resources. Because
we
go out and we create, well, frankly, that's...
Please,
my,
no crosstalk.
She's underlying the point, and I'm glad she did that. Because it's undeniable, and it's an honorable thing to admit something. When, in fact, I think what falls on deaf ears is that you are no I. You were in 1950, and you are now a part of a foundation. You are one of five entities, one of six units, or seven
units. Excuse me, point of order,
And therefore, you're the one opened your mouth, so I have never interrupted you, so why don't you have the decency?
Okay, hold on, everybody. Hold on, please.
Hold on. Back and forth continuously. But
Come on. Yeah, all right. Well,
no,
you got interrupted by a point of order. If she's got a legitimate point of order, we'll hear it.
And there is no point of order. Okay, go ahead. That's no point
of
order.
Well, let's see if it is.
I don't want to hear what he has to say because I have such privilege to say what I want to say, and he can't say what he wants to say.
Well, all right, let's see if there's a point of order. What's the point of order? Is that Teresa? Who was that? No, Teresa's not here. Was that
Sharon?
Okay, go ahead, Sharon. What's the point of order?
I did not use the word you. I did not direct my comments at anyone. I would appreciate the same respect.
Where's the rule that
I'm
was
really
broken,
just trying to discuss. I'm sorry that I said that.
I told you
it
wasn't a
mute.
Point of order. You just let my
gap
on my time, but I never interrupted her with a false point of order.
Okay, I'm going to rule that even though it's already been said, it's more or less, we'll just leave it where it is. I'll rule that it's not a point of order. And please go ahead, Dwayne.
It's just abject disrespect and special privilege that some people believe they inherently have. And I simply
don't.
I don't stand for it. I did not serve this country to protect other folks' freedom, that my freedom will be impinged on every time I say something that some person don't like. That is just not what I consider to be free speech, equity, and anything else that has to do with this country and the greatness of this country of people being able to speak their voice and have their voice heard without these individuals believing that they can stomp on it.
Dwayne, I ruled that it wasn't a point of order.
Me,
so could you return to the subject?
You've allowed her to go
on and on and on and on and on. And I sit back, didn't say a word.
No, I did not allow her to go on and on and on. He said, I just ruled that it was not a point of order.
Mr. Chair,
oh, please, just go on with your remarks, Wayne, please.
So far. So why don't you see the modicum here of fairness and equity?
Please go on with your remarks.
Of the conversation here tonight, and I never interrupted her, not with a point of order, not with sarcasm, not with the disdain I've had for some of the attitudes that she has.
I appreciate that. I understand. Please go on with your remarks.
If I may,
please.
I'm encouraged that, again, there are minds that have the mindset in this foundation that just because one unit believes it should have autonomy and believe that it should be left alone and believe somehow this foundation was built on the back of five, and all of a sudden now, because it's the strongest one, it ought to be able to do what it wants, when it wants, and not share any resources that it's been allowed to receive. I've argued this at city council in the city of Houston. I've argued this in the state legislature. I've argued this even in the military, that you can't have your cake because the cake was built by the whole. It is not your cake. It is not your station. You don't own any assets. The foundation owns the assets. You were just privileged to be able to operate it. So until we distinguish, we extinguish this flame that's blazing, that it's us and ours, we're really not going to have a decent conversation. But I am encouraged by the fact that we do have other four units, and the fact that most of those people in those four units don't have this mindset. But it's very difficult to sit here for an hour and a half and listen to a conversation dominated by an individual who is saying we are a victim and that we don't believe we should be continually taken advantage of, when in fact this foundation has five decades of history and KPFA is a part of that history. And if you go back to the experiences that all stations have had, we've all shared the burdens with each other. Thank you for listening and uninterrupted
okay.
The last two or three minutes.
Our Paul for Scott?
Thank you, Drain. Go ahead, our Paul.
Without getting into any personalities or any of this stuff, we have sort of stepped into a little bit, not a whole lot, a little bit, a trap that I always see everybody in Pacifica governance stepping into, which is we start talking about the programming, because that's what's interesting. Nobody really spends a whole lot of time trying to dig out, gee, what are the finances of Pacifica? I want to see some of those good spreadsheets in Pacifica. People turn on the radio, they want to hear programs. They want to hear programs that they enjoy one way or another, or dislike enough to throw stuff at the radio, but still got to listen to it. And so I think that's something we need to avoid, is to avoid starting to talk about, oh, the programming and how to do it. Now, that has to be done. But I think that the NFC is not equipped for that. What we could do, if anything, is stay on the periphery and say, gee, maybe programming needs to be looked at, and pretty much leave it at that. Now, I'm not saying people are going to not like this. I'm not saying that there's significant competence throughout Pacifica to take that ball and run with it, but I think that it is certainly not a job for the NFC, and the NFC has a load of stuff on its plate. Our next meeting will be after the first entire month of FY21 is gone, and we haven't done any budgets yet. So I think we need to concentrate on our stuff and not fall into the trap of let's start programming the network or even a station or anything. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I appreciate that, R. Paul. And in fact, on that note, I'm looking at my clock, and I did adjust it from when it was off earlier, and I have now 10 after 8, or 8 after 10, rather, and we're due to adjourn no later than 10:15, And so I would like to move on from this topic, except to say that I hope we can return to it and really knuckle down and figure out what our central services formula is going to be so that we can get these budgets taken care of. And we're going to need also to talk about whether it's time for the NFC to start reaching down into the stations where budgets have not yet been, draft budgets have not been finalized to send to us and start bringing them to the NFC so that we can work on them. Is there any, I'm going to ask if there's any comment on that. Where do we stand on that? But in fact, let me do it this way. Let's call this section number six over now. We're done with that. We don't have Lydia here for a report, so we can skip seven. And let's go to number eight, which is reports from the stations on their budget timeline progress. And let's just go around and quickly get an assessment. We know that KPFA has already submitted a draft budget. And let's go around the horn from there. KPFK, Fred, can you tell us anything?
Well, the last time I heard anything about the budget, it's not ready to come to, excuse me. It's not ready to come to the LSB nor the NFC. We're still waiting on management to make changes that have been requested, and it just doesn't seem to be moving.
May I ask you a question, Fred? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, go ahead and ask your question.
My understanding is that it did come to the LSB, and it was rejected and sent back to the Finance Committee. Is that correct?
Sort of, I think about a month ago. Again, the chair of our local finance committee has been working with management, and management is too much involved in trying to make these reductions that have been requested by the board of directors. And they don't seem to be putting any time into really finalizing the budget. Also, some of the items that need to be finalized in the budget have to do with negotiations with the union about staff reductions and other things. So, I can't say when we will have a budget to present.
Can you offer an opinion on whether it would, you know, whether it would be appropriate? And if so, you know, do you have an opinion on perhaps when it would be appropriate for the Finance Committee to reach down and take whatever you've done so far and start to consider it in the Finance Committee? The NFC.
I think we should have a discussion on that at the first NFC meeting of November. We should have a local finance meeting before then, and I will try and discuss with Kim Kaufman what we can do to deal with this budget.
Thank you, Fred. I'm just going to make a note for everybody. You know, if we end up taking a lot of station budgets to the NFC, we're going to have to really do some hard work. We're going to have some sessions where we're just doing work on budgets that come to us from the stations. Would anybody like to speak about KPFT and tell us where their budget process is? Wayne, I think you may be the only one from T here.
In fact, I know I am, since you called Teresa's name a couple of times and she didn't respond.
Yeah, that was Sharon that I was hearing. You're right.
Well, clearly, as I stated at our last meeting, the politics at KPFT with the supermajority of the board is really not conducive to getting a budget out of a finance committee or the LSB, but I will say, and I can report as I reported at our last NFC meeting, that the business manager and the IGM of KPFT have submitted and have available to send to, as I told you last week in our personal conversation, a proposed budget that basically is, I predicted that when you put managers and business managers on a two-track effort to give them the challenge of giving a revised budget that basically is over, the fiscal year is over, which I thought was redundant and just simply didn't make any sense, and then the challenge of submitting the 2021 budget. So this was predictable that you'd get a back call process. We should have just left that business alone and allowed them to work on the fiscal 2021 budget, but I remember I did at the previous meeting of the NFC. And I said to you last week when we had a conversation, Chair, that I believe that it would be appropriate for the KPFT business manager and the IGM to just go around the politics of the LSB and the NFC, because if the LSB wanted to follow the process, it would have done so in the last 2 to 3 months, but it's been wholly focused on an IGM search, a GM search, which we've had 2 special meetings at the KPFT LSB for, no special meeting for budget. So that should show you the priorities, even though their words will say something different. So I am prepared to make the motion that the KPFT GM, IGM, and business managers submit their hard work to the NFC, because I believe it will stay bogged down at the LSB level for insidious things like add to the budget. You heard the treasurer say that one of the problems she has with the proposed budget, then acknowledging it must be a proposed budget, that she has the problem that it didn't add, nothing was included to deal with the systemic structural issues and some of the other operational issues. And everyone who's involved in KPFT's finance know that it's operating at a loss. And the revenues that at most stations, but not all stations, are down. And it's been on a downward trajectory long before this COVID came. So how ridiculous is it to demand that the management put something in the budget that is already, at the same time you're telling them to cut bones that have already been, the body's already revealed, it has no flesh, you're already cut to the bone. So this kind of insidious politics can be circumvented. And so I would move that the NFC ask and request that the management of KPFT and its business manager and its IGM, which has had a proposed budget for now almost 2 months, to submit it to the NFC.
Dwayne, I'm going to suggest that we are up against our time certain. Would anyone like to make a motion to extend? And I'm going to ask you possibly if you would hold your motion until we get all the way around and to talk to all the stations and see if we could have a single motion that contains more than one station if necessary.
Paulina, who's that?
Fred,
let me hear from Dwayne first, because he just offered a motion.
Mr. Chair, I call for the orders of the day.
I think I had asked. Dwayne, are you there? I mean, can I not ask for an extension of time?
Yeah, that's what I asked your recognition for.
Yes, I'm here.
To ask for an extension of time.
But now our call has called for the orders of the day, and I believe I had asked for an extension of time request prior
to it. So
right,
now calling for the orders means the only thing we can do is have a vote on extension.
Oh, okay, very good. I thought it meant we had to adjourn. Well, yeah, we would have to go to a vote on extension anyway. So Paulina has moved to extend. How much time, Paulina?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? Is there any objection? Hearing none, let's go back to my question to Dwayne, which was, Dwayne, do you mind putting off your motion until we get all the way around to all of the stations? We can possibly put more than one station into your motion.
Well, it is not my will, but upon your request and acknowledging your sincerity, I do withhold the motion.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we're up to WPFW. Is there, Nick, can you give us a quick report on how you are doing with your budget? Nick, are you still with us? Okay, I don't hear Nick any longer. Who has the Maestro board? Do we know if Nick is still here?
No, he's not.
He's gone, okay. Paul, do you want to say anything about the WBAI budget process?
Yeah, give me one second here.
Take your time.
Yes. WBAI has, something almost falling over here. Pardon me, I'm getting tangled up in wires again. All right. I guess it's maybe an old, you know, we have an old phone here, and the coily cord is just has a mind of its own and gets into things. Yes, WBAI has the revised budget, and I can send it up to the NFC, and there it will be. The WBAI Local Finance Committee sent the draft budget and told the general manager to make some revisions to it, and we voted to send that to the LSB on August 26th, at the October 14th meeting, the LSB heard about it, and the LSB didn't put a lot of time on the agenda to discuss it, but I went over to big numbers, and nobody made a motion to accept it or adopt it or anything else, which to my mind means it's ready to be sent to the NFC for everybody to look at.
Paul, could you give us a brief description of the precedents and the procedure for doing this? You know, we tend to think that the budget goes to the Finance Committee and then to the LSB and then to the NFC, but I understand there are precedents for leaping over when things aren't happening.
Yeah, that's kind of dicey. Basically, the issue is that the Pacifica governance requires the LSBs to really go at the budgets. Now, it is easily arguable at this point of time, especially since next meeting we're going to be in November, that time's up and we just have to get them. But where do we get them from? And I guess I'm getting into the motion that Dwayne wants to make. I'm not sure that that's entirely correct at this point in time, because it's supposed to be governance that sends it to the NFC. If we can't get it any other way, then yeah, we have to go to management. But the KPFT governance people, that's the LSB and others associated with the LSB, will have a legitimate beef about it. Again, it could be argued back and forth. I see the idea of the argument. But yeah, we can sort of reach in, but I would suggest we wait till the next meeting to see if that's necessary. I mean, we can, you know, tell people, next meeting we start doing budgets. If you don't have one here, we may start without you. And let that be it, because otherwise, you know, we could end up with a lot of endless yelling back and forth about governance procedures. That's what I have to say.
Okay.
Paulina, for the stock team.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Yeah, I was just waiting for an opportunity to add something to our treasurer's report.
it was just a personal comment to the chair. Thank you so much for sitting in and visiting us our local finance committee meeting the other week. I think that's a great practice, and it's great that we, you know, now in times of Zoom, that's something that's actually doable. And hopefully it was helpful, and I appreciate the effort. And also I was going to say that one of the reasons why we're stuck with the budget is because the revenue projections don't seem to be realistic in the case of KPFK, and I'd like to hear how other stations are dealing with that, because revenue projections are a bit complicated in times of COVID, and things have been in flux and so on and so forth. But I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges, besides the fact that we're having to make major cuts, right? At least 30% cuts. Thank you.
Thank you, Paulina.
Request for information.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
How many more stations do you need to get to?
I think we've been around the horn now. I think, and I was considering lumping WBAI with KPFT in your motion, but our Paul seems to think they're different circumstances, so maybe we should take them one at a time.
I have a comment, a quick comment.
Go ahead.
But when our Paul indicated, and I do think we can avoid a governance argument by simply not acknowledging them, since it's not a governance committee or a governing body, for that matter, that we have to focus on finance, and how is it that we can't start without them when, in fact, we're reviewing, our charge is to review the budgets of stations. So I'm kind of trying to grip my mind around that comment. But I also believe that it's perfectly fine to simply say in the motion that, and I revise the motion, that almost what R. Paul said, that at our next NFC meeting, we would like for the station to submit their proposed budget. Now, stations meaning whether it's the LSB, whether it's the management, or whomever. But we need a document, and I don't believe we can work efficiently without a document. We can't start without a document.
Is that it? Dwayne, you done? Yeah. That makes sense to me, and I think also that when we get a document, whatever it is, and, you know, if other people disagree with that document, then maybe we'll get another document and we can work with both documents and come up with a final document, which I believe is what we're supposed to do anyway. Do I hear a motion then? And R. Paul, I'd like to hear you on this. Would it be appropriate to have a motion now that the NFC should be, what Dwayne said, next meeting, we'll start on the budgets.
Simply, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dwayne. I'm sorry.
I could just simply make a suggestion. This doesn't have to be a formal motion. You have the authority as the chair of the NFC under the direction and the agreement that all of us seemingly have, that we're going to start processing, reviewing, and initiating our job at the next meeting. So send a communique to each station. And you can copy the LSB. You can send it to the general manager that we request that you send us a proposed budget, period.
Okay. What do you think of that, R. Paul? Is that something that you would want to work up as the secretary, or should we make it out? Go ahead.
We could certainly ask everybody, tell them, hey, it's time to send in your budget. I will note Article 7, Section 3, specific powers and duties of LSBs, Part A, is to review and approve that station's budget and make quarterly reports to the foundation's board of directors regarding the station's budget, actual income and expenditures. first part, to review and approve the station's budget. So it's in the bylaws that the LSPs are required to do that. And so we need to be very delicate about at all going around an LSP and saying, somebody give us something that resembles a budget.
Do we need the PNB to do this, or does the has the NFC done this in the past?
We've done it in the past. Well, not quite this, but we've said, hey, we need this. Give us this. And, yeah, if a station somehow doesn't want to do it or whatever, which has not really happened that I recall in the past, then I think maybe it would be safe and smart to have the PNB say, do this. The NFC is just a committee, and I don't know that it would be useful for everybody to have the NFC getting into fights with LSPs over violation of Article 7 there.
I'd like to offer a little history as well, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Dwayne, and if, while you're doing that, if you could just put a point on it again for me. Did I understand correctly that the KPFT LSB has not taken this up at all? They've never seen this, or they've not done anything with it?
That you're absolutely correct, and that's by choice, as I stated, that their primary, their whole focus has been on a steroid effort to do a management search within two months. So having said that, I would point out that having served on the KPFT LSD for at least 9 out of the last 11 years, that there have been at least 2 or 3 occasions KPFT LSD has not submitted a budget, and it's probably more years than that, has not submitted a budget, an approved budget, to the NFC or the PNB or anyone else. So while the bylaws, As our Paul read, it's correct. The practice has been loose and inconsistent. And I don't believe KPFT is the only one. So if I would try to find reasons to agree with our Paul and make you comfortable, we can take this effort, this motion, and see how the PNB want to word it. But I absolutely predict that the PNB will have absolutely no problem directing and instructing the LSBs or the GM if the LSBs don't bring forth, because we don't have the time to play around at this point. The LSBs knew their charge, as R. Paul pointed out. These bylaws have been in place for at least 20 or more years. And most LSB chairs and treasurers should, if not know, what the timelines are. And when I was chair of the local LSB, we started the process in February and March, and we submitted by August, and we thought we were terribly late in September. So let's not play games here about what's written as opposed to what's practiced, and then about who has the authority to put some fire on the folks' butts to get our financial house in order. Because this is how audit and other things get behind. Because the process starts at the LSB, absolutely. The process then is forwarded to the NFC. Then it is finalized with our CFO and the team, our financial team, which we're down to just NETA. So let's not play games. Let's not get caught up in the writ. But I'm willing to take it to the LSB, to the PNB at this point, so any further discussion of this is moot.
And let me just ask one final question, and that is, it's my understanding that this process has not been completed for 4 years, for at least 4 years. So how has this been done for the past 4 years? If anybody knows, I'm sure Dwayne and R. Paul might know.
Well, I can tell you that for the past 4 years, the PNB has not passed any budgets. I think it's 4 years. And now the NFC at one point did pass a couple of budgets, some of which were really not a bright idea to pass, but again, politics. And because they were deficit budgets and they were made up figures, so yeah, we've had things not going right for years. If we can get, I had thought that if we could get budgets really going in October, we'd be doing great, and I think that still would have been true. But if we can start really going over the budgets in November, that would be good too. I will also point out that generally going over the budget takes time. So if a station ends up lagging behind the others a bit, it's not usually that big a deal. If they miss like one or two meetings of NFC to get a budget in, it doesn't kill anything because we can't get to all the budgets at once anyway. So
we can work on KPFA next time. We can begin work on that.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask this, can we get a consensus here? Can we hammer out a consensus right here and now? Because there's a PNB meeting on Thursday. We could bring what we can hammer out now to the PNB and get it done, but we would have to extend time. And we could also let the rest of the committee go, and we could just have a subcommittee do it right here and now.
No,
well, Mr. Chair,
I would suggest that we make an
actual motion. I hear a point of order, R. Paul. I apologize. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I hate to be a prick in the process, but since we are following parliamentary procedures, the time has already been expended, so there was no extension. So technically, the meeting is over.
Correct.
No, somebody could move to do it. You know, another extension would be in order.
Well,
as I understand it, you're supposed to make extensions. That's the purpose why you have a time certain.
Right.
And when that time is expended, no one extended it again. You just can't go in perpetuity, come back 10 minutes later after it is the last motion that was approved to extend was expended. You can't retroactively. So technically, the meeting is over.
No. That's
technically, I want to say technically I agree with Dwayne, but I would also point out it wouldn't be the first time.
No, I mean, basically, yeah.
That's
you know,
true.
How many times do we see that the a meeting keeps going and it goes past its deadline? Nobody says anything and it keeps going.
So let's just see if we have a consensus here. Do we have a consensus among the group that we should hammer this out?
I think a consensus is a bad idea. If somebody has a motion, let's do it up and down and have actual wording instead of going to the PNB and then have everybody arguing for 6 months over the wording that we didn't have.
Can we do this in 10 minutes? Because then I'll move to extend for 10 minutes as appropriate or illegal as it may
be. Why don't you do that?
Okay. Do I hear any objection? I move to extend for 10 minutes. Do I hear any objection? Thank you. Hearing none, let's try and hammer out this language. Was that an objection, Fred? If so,
no.
You're a little late. So, Dwayne, you were starting to come up with something, and so was our Paul. Can we?
Yes. I don't think it should take 10 minutes for us to agree that the motion for the PNB would read fairly simple, that PNB request.
Before you go on, Dwayne, can we get somebody to write this down? Is there somebody who can take this down? I don't know if you're able to do this as you're talking, Dwayne.
I can try it.
Well, I can probably try it.
Okay. Paulina, R. Paul, why don't you both try it? And we will be accurate. Go ahead, Dwayne. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, that's quite all right. It gives me time to think. The PNB requests that the local LSD submit a proposed budget, and then we'll have to agree on the timeline, whether it's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, eternity, or whatever. But I think that's as simple as you can get it.
Let me read you what I think probably comes out of this. All right. Got to put a preamble, a little something there. The NFC requests that the PNB request that the LSBs submit a proposed draft FY21 budget within X amount of time to the NFC. We need to know what X amount of time we want to do.